Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hi, Eric. Hi, everyone. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How's your week been?
That's such a loaded question anymore. My week's actually been pretty good.
Good.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah? Okay, because it's provided like 6 weeks' worth of content for the show.
It's almost embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing. It's beautiful that you'd be willing to share. Like, it's so funny. Like, we all have, like, these lives, right? And it is so funny, like, society's answer to these questions. Like, you know, hey, Jim, how you doing? You know? And there's no answer that's acceptable other than fine, you know? And, you know, how are things? What's new? You know? Oh, you know, nothing much. You know, planning a vacation for the summertime. You know, that's... And that's pretty much the only answers that you kind of get in and around, you know, that answer and cousins. And, you know, when in fact, it's like, yeah, I haven't seen somebody in 168 hours or a week. And there's been lots that's gone on in their week, you know. They've felt great exactly 17 times, and they felt real shitty 4. And, you know, they had good news and they had bad news, and they had misrepresentations of what things meant to them and what other people's behavior was. And then they, you know, they've had some lovely connective experiences, and then they felt, you know, like they've been left out of some connections they had expected they were going to get, and that didn't make them feel so good. And now they got these stories in their head, and that's all that's happened in 168 hours. But there's no way that you can possibly answer like that, let alone be ready to answer like that. You know, when you're queued up and see somebody, you know, you're not expecting it.
So what you're saying is people don't answer the way I do.
Well, they might not be like, well, because when you say, hey Jim, how's it going? You know, they know that they have exactly about 0.8 of a second to answer before, you know, we move on. And that's all the attention span that's going to be offered from a question like that. But, you know, when we get on this show, and when we first started doing this show, you know, half hour seems kind of daunting.
Yeah.
Still full of content. It's like, oh, my God, what are we going to possibly say for half an hour that could be even remotely interesting? And then, you know, as we get into it, it's like, oh, my God, half an hour, yeah, it's not enough. You know, half the time we feel like we're barely through the introduction before our time runs out and it's time to meditate and send us off. But so when I ask you, I mean, not only do we have, you know, a nice relationship where the other knows that they can speak as long as they need to, but also there's not a 29 minute and 24 second timer in the top of our computer screen that would encourage such drawing out of your answers all the time, but recently.
I think that's an interesting thing you bring up, though, that when someone said, like, there's this whole thing that happens when you meet up with someone you know, or you see someone you know on the street, or wherever it is, or you go into work every day and you say, "Hi, how are you?" It's like an automatic, you know, you just search in your old memory bank for those automatic, just like an automatic reply in an email, right? It's like, "Oh, good morning, how are you?"
Yep.
"Well, I'm good, thanks." You know, I don't think people really think about it when they're saying, "Hi, how are you?" And I'm not even sure they necessarily are looking for an answer other than, "Yeah, I'm good, thanks." You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we even really think when we ask someone, "How are you?" I'm not even sure we really are that interested in knowing as much as it's just an automatic, one of those automatic means that comes out of our mouth. You know, it's what you've gotten used to saying, or grown up saying, and you've heard other people say, and it just is something that's an automatic thing that comes out of your mouth. And then, you know, what happens on that rare time when someone says, "Oh my God, I'm terrible, this happened and that happened," and then we think, "Oh my God, what have I done?"
I was just absolutely, that was on the tip of my tongue. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so I think even being more mindful in how we greet people, and really, you know, if you're going to ask a question, to be aware of the question you're asking, and whether you, you know, before you even ask it, think about whether you are prepared to hear the answer. Because the answer might be, you know, oh, I feel terrible, and this and that happened, and, you know, kind of catches you off guard if you're not prepared for whatever answer other than the standard, I see this, and you say that, and this. And in this world where everybody is so busy, that's all we have time for, and I think that's such a shame. How are you? I'm good. Okay, have a great day. Thanks, bye. That's it, and we're on to the next thing. We don't really have those slow pace. We don't think that it's okay to pause before we speak, and that's something that I've really learned doing this show, because, and I think I've said this before, because you and I are not geographically in the same location, so there's no body language, you know, involved. You come to that place where you have to listen to the other person and what they're saying, and you need to pause when you think they're finished, because they may just be stopping to catch a breath, or they may have another thought they want to tack onto it. So you really do have to pause. And I remember in the beginning, that pause seemed like forever. and now when it happens, it's like, oh, did I wait long enough? So, you know, it's all relative. And I think we're too... It's even when someone asks us, oh, will you do this for me? And we say yes right away, because we don't understand that it's okay to have a pause in there, to take a moment to consider, do I want to do this? Is it something I feel good about? Or am I going to just answer yes in the moment because I don't like the silence, and then have to figure out some excuse later why I can't do it? It's those mindful things that have sort of slipped away, and conversation has the art of conversation has sort of degenerated into this, you know, texting or you know, make it quick. I'm on the run. I don't have time for this. I think some of those beautiful little nuances and subtleties of real artful conversation have sort of gone by the wayside.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I feel like it's a great opportunity, you know. I feel like in anything in our society, in interacting with all the other people who, you know, are on this planet, trapped on this planet together, if you can do something that's different than the norm, it usually stands out, and it usually can benefit you, you know, if it's coming from a place of real creativity and a real desire to, like, create value. And it can range from anything from personal relationships to finances and economics. You know, what we all sit and we revere Steve Jobs or the idea of Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and, you know, all these industry leaders who really just saw an opportunity where everybody did something one way and they said, hey, wait a second, there's a better way, and I'm gonna, you know, put the work into finding it. And it is so. It reaps such incredible abundance and rewards when we can do something where we can see a need. And like you say, I mean, as we get busier and busier in our life, the need for connection and true communication has never been more. You know, the social media is almost like this ruse in a way, where it's like there's this great need for us to feel connected to other people. But then in some ways, social media ends up making us more busy than we've ever been, and only exacerbates the real desire for true intimacy and connection, because we can't, you know, we can't kiss somebody and then they leave for a minute and without, you know, wanting to go look at our phone. Like, how good do we have to have it before we stop the urge to distract ourselves or to go check in for a second on the phone. And it really keeps the mind, it speeds up the mind. And it speeds up the mind in the same way where it's like, you know, you walk in someplace and you're like, hey, how you doing? And you're like going to the lockers or you're, you know, off to another room or something. And you don't really want them to answer, like you say, you know, it's not truly a question. And I do love when you say it, if they ever answer, like, oh, you know, and you're like, oh, God. And then if they're a person who consistently answers like that, then you just like go, oh, I have to stop greeting them. I have to stop acknowledging them, you know. And it's only the people who like say, oh, I'm great, like 12 times in a row, who might give an answer that's different than that, where you might actually be, you know, moved enough to stop and you know, maybe give them 30 seconds if they can give you the concise elevator talk of what exactly is wrong in their life, so you can give them just enough validation before you go on to what you were doing. And like you say, you know, like the real joy and the art of conversation and truly feeling heard and offering that to somebody else and truly communicating. I do think that, you know, our society, as we speed up, sometimes begins to be lost. And then basically we're speeding up because we're trying to get it so bad, but we're not really filling it up. And it's kind of this funny rat race kind of mentality, or this hamster wheel, where it's like, if I can just go faster, I'll get there. And it's like, you know, just the real way to get there is to find somebody to, you know, first of all, be the leader and be able to slow down the energy and slow down the interaction. And going full circle to the first point is where, if you can do something differently in that little quick interaction, you know, I love what you said about, you know, when you're talking to somebody and you're just so excited to respond or to even validate them, maybe even your intention is noble like that, where you're like, yeah, I want to tell you that I know what you're feeling, or that classic, like, oh, I went and, you know, my car was in the shop today and it cost me $200. I'm like, oh yeah, my brother's car just broke down. So it's like, I know what you mean. And it's just, you know, that slowing down, and that question that you asked is like, did I actually wait long enough?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody says something to you and you hold the space with them for just like 2-3 seconds, it doesn't have to be long, because we're so used to it just being instantaneous response. And you hold that space for them for like 3 seconds and just take in what they said. It's amazing. It's so palpable. They'll feel it. They'll feel like you heard them. They might feel a little bit uneasy because they're like, oh my God, why aren't they responding? I'm not used to this. But when you can take that moment and let it sit, what they said, without having to respond or show them in a very audible way that you understand, where you can just let it sit. I mean, it's just incredible validation. And it's a beautiful question to ask when we find ourselves, when we're able to be conscious enough in a conversation, that when the other person is speaking, that when they finish, we don't even respond. We just wait, you know, 3 seconds and really let it sit. And it's amazing the connection that it will foster and how much you'll stand out as somebody who's like, interesting, somebody who's different, who's somebody who feels, another person feels drawn towards connecting to.
Yeah, you know, it's when you do that as well, it gives a person, that's what creating a safe space is about. It gives a person the chance to feel what they're saying. Like, you know, if you say to someone, how are you? And they say, oh my God, you know, my father just passed away. And you take a few moments before you respond. It gives them that space to feel what it is they're feeling. Mm. And it's so much more authentic, because you're really, what in effect you're doing is giving them the space. And we don't, because we don't take the space for ourselves, because we get caught up in the busyness. It's an addiction, and we can never get enough busyness to take us away from what we're feeling. And that's really, you know, because we want to feel good, so we run into busyness to take ourselves out of feeling what we call bad. So giving someone that space, just sitting and bearing witness to what it is they're expressing, it gives them the space to feel themselves what they're expressing, not to just
be in that space of dumping on you and then just walking away saying, oh, that felt good. But to actually feel it for themselves and to really be in that moment. So you're both in that moment, right? And it really changes, like, you know, I've seen it at work, and it really changes, you know, it really, people really do appreciate that, whether they realize it or not, they do appreciate that space. Because I think everybody, you know, because in that space is peace, really, because there's nothing happening, and nothing has to happen. It's authentic. It's peaceful. Even if you're feeling something that's not so great, like, you know, if you're feeling sadness, it's still, there's something peaceful about having the space to feel it. Whereas, you know, you're always running from it. That's a lot of work. And you can never run fast enough. You can never run fast enough or far enough or be busy enough to run from your suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that, you know, when you talk about you let them, when you give them that space when they finish speaking, you give them that space to actually feel. Because, like you say, we get so busy trying to, you know, either fix or not feel what it is that we are, that when you give them that space, that you're actually kind of giving them permission, you know, to go further. Sometimes some of the greatest insights or some of the greatest connection happens like at that third level. Like the first level is like, hey, how you doing? You know, the first level is like, you know, let's say that there's an issue, and they say, oh, you know, and then if you're able to go back and say, what's up? You know, and they tell you whatever it is, you know, somebody close to them had something bad happen, they had a disappointing result, it's something they cared about, some bad fortune struck them, whatever. Like, that's the second level, and that's nice, and then, you know, you can kind of consider those people like your friends at work, or your friends at school, or your friends, maybe even family. But if you're able to, like, pause after that second level, after they tell you, and you don't say anything, if they feel that permission from you, and that special moment where then they can add on to it because you didn't start talking, you know, and they can really kind of let go and tell you what it is about that situation that has kind of affected them, it's incredible the amount of attraction and connection and true intimacy that you can foster in that moment. And if you want to, you know, raise your relationship bars with people in your life, it's such an incredible tool. And you don't even have to do anything, really. You know, you just have to hold it and allow them that space to continue to, it's almost a permission that they can feel. It's an acceptance that they can feel what it is that they're yearning to feel and share that experience with another person. And so often, like you say, we don't give ourselves that permission. We most of us know it's kind of an imposing, kind of a selfish desire, you know, if I'm feeling something and I kind of want to share it, or I'm struggling with something, and it can be anything from like a -2 experience to a -9 experience, and I feel like I kind of just want to get it out, and, you know, and I know how great it would feel for somebody just to see me and validate me. We don't really allow ourselves that permission to go there, because we have to show up for other things we're doing. We have to be responsible at work. We have to be, you know, leaders for our kids or anything that we're out in our day doing, or we're avoiding it. And we don't give ourselves that permission. But when we can, you know, when there's a conversation or interaction that can be that's invoked, and you can give them that permission by just staying quiet and holding the space and sharing their energy, it's a really incredibly beautiful thing. And you know, intimacy just keeps popping up in that interaction. And I know this isn't a show about romance and intimacy and sex today, but you know, if you want to create that, like in a relationship where you do that, boy, oh boy, when you feel heard and validated and accepted, if you feel like you were a little bit apprehensive about sharing something with somebody, and then they respond in such a positive and, you know, not activated or reactivated way, I mean, it's pretty likely you're going to go to that step very soon.
Like, I agree, and you know, that's not to say you're going to That's not to say you're going to go to that step with everybody.
No.
But, you know, one of the turning points, when I say turning points, when I first went down to Maryland to meet Peter, you know, we had been interacting online for quite some time. And when I went to meet him in person, and it was still, you know, getting to know you in person and that type of thing. But like 2 days in, we hit this turning point where I was suddenly paralyzed with fear. I mean, knowing the strong connection that we felt for each other, and then that sort of point where you think, oh my God, this is a relationship and I don't want to screw it up. And what if it's, you know, what if I mess it up like I did last time or whatever? So there's this paralyzing fear I felt. And, you know, I listened closely to that inner voice that said, go and talk to him. And I went to talk to him about it, and he looked at me and said, oh my God, what's wrong? Because the look on my face was like something terrible had happened. And I said, I'm just feeling all this fear. And the way he tells his side of that story is that in that moment, he had the choice to be either all in or all out. And so whatever he chose to do was going to be that, you know, that choice. And what he chose to do was open his arms and gather me in and say, you know, it's not real. And just hold me while I sat with the fear. Oh my God, that was it. That was the point at which the relationship became both of us totally in. And I think whether it's a romantic relationship or a friendship, it's the same idea. That moment where you connect with someone on that deep, intimate level, and when I say intimate, I'm not talking about sex here, I'm talking about that deep and vulnerable and intimate space, then you know you've got that relationship is something really, really deep. And that's pretty amazing. And all it takes is to be in that space where you can allow someone to be and feel whatever it is they need to feel and not feel you have to change it or fix it or make it better for them or whatever it is, but just be in the space with them while they process it. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know, it's something that we yearn for so much, and it sits at the backbone of so many of our frustrations at relationships in our lives, whether it be, you know, a current relationship, whether it be a relationship with our parents, a relationship with our kids. It's those relationships where we feel like they should be better, but they're not. And we would really just like to stop being invalidated by others. And we take sometimes their behaviors and their reactions to mean that. And we can really understand how important having relationships where you're accepted and validated and the other person is willing, you know, like in that moment with Peter, to open their arms, you know, to open their heart, to open a space, to let you be fearful, to let you be vulnerable, to let you be honest. We can very easily see how, in our own lives, how many relationships we truly have that are like that. And the answer is probably scant little or scant few. And how beautiful it would be to begin adding relationships to our lives that were like that. And if we can feel that prospect, then it's so obviously true for everybody else walking on the earth. And we can really do our part to foster that. in our own life, and it is really about being the creator of your own life. And you do it first. You know, you raise your energy, you set the example, you be that deeper, potentially connective person, and the universe, or, you know, natural consequences through your actions will draw those things into your life. And if we could just add one of those relationships to our life, I think it doesn't take very long before we start getting excited at how wonderful, how much better our life could be if we could add just one of those relationships to our current, you know, circle of influence, our current Rolodex of people that we see. And it's absolutely beautiful. And talk about the satisfaction of a life well lived. I think it's pretty much having as many of those as you can foster.
Yeah, those wonderful moments where you really, and you know, we've all had them at some point or another, fleeting as they may be, but to have that moment where you are so connected to someone and you didn't have to say a word.
Hmm.
Like, that's so cool, and it's not that difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just take out personal agenda and put in compassion.
Hmm. That's really well said. Take out your personal agenda. Put it on the shelf for one interaction and just observe.
Yeah. And yeah. And you know what? It's a lot better than Facebook. And you do it once and you'll want it again.
Yeah. Man. Oh, it's so beautiful when you figure out a slice of life, you know, like that.
Yes, it is.
Well, here we are. We've used up most of our time, and we're down.
I can't believe it.
Start talking about intimacy and time flies.
Well, you know what, though? You get in the moment and you get into the conversation, and that's what happens, right?
Yeah, really. Well, Bettina, it'd be absolutely fantastic to send me and all of us who find us listening to your voice off into a beautiful week with your meditation.
Great. I'd love to. Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe fully into your belly, breathe in your life. Breathe in the compassion and the gratitude, the love and the peace that you're looking for. Breathe into them because they're there. And as you breathe into them, think about someone in your life with whom you would like to have a more intimate, deeper relationship. And put yourself in that place of feeling compassion, of letting go of the idea that something's broken and needs fixing, of being comfortable enough to sit in the silence as someone expresses what they're going through, and leaving out judgment or criticism or, yes, personal agenda as you hear what they are saying, as you hear beyond the words to the feelings, the fears, shame or guilt, even maybe the anger, and understand that they are hurting and all they need is a space to express and acknowledge and allow for themselves to feel whatever it is they're feeling. Be in that space with them. Be in that space with yourself. Allow yourself to be in that space of compassion when you're feeling angry. Instead of admonishing yourself and creating more anger, be compassionate and understand the fear that the anger is being created from. And allow yourself the space and time with compassion to feel it. Because the more you can do it with yourself, the easier it becomes to be that beautiful, safe space for someone else. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
That's beautiful, Bettina. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And thank you so much, everybody, for joining us this week. I quite enjoyed this conversation. We'll see you all again next.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.